1, this is M2NLB with the shortwave scanner listeners ahead. We're going to stand by for any emergency or priority traffic before we continue with the net this evening. Okay, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is M2NLB. The name is Charlie from Staten Island in New York City. And I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net that's heard on this repeater system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this event is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. Tune in all those different frequencies, from DC all the way up to light, everything else in between, except for amateur radio. And that's because we can talk about that topic at any other time during the week. The kind of things that we talk about on this net are who's on these various frequencies, what equipment you would need to use to tune in, what are the changes that are going on, maybe some new equipment that's come out, and resources that you can find that information. Here's the basic ground rules for the net. One, if you're checking in over the air, we ask that you give your call sign, name, and location, and also indicate if you have any traffic for the net. By traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you want to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, just say no traffic, and this way we'll go to the next person. Otherwise, we'll assume that you do have traffic. Now, to know which repeater to use on the N2R or W-Link repeater system, we suggest that you go to the website, www.n2row.net, and locate the repeater that's closest to where you are right now. Makes no sense to try to reach a far away machine if there's one in your own backyard. Now, because it is a link repeater system, when you key up, you need to wait an extra second before you start talking, otherwise the beginning of your transmission will get cut off. So press pause for a second or two and then speak. If you're not able to get into the repeaters, either because of distance, technical difficulties, or you may not have your amateur radio license yet, and we can always help you with that topic, you can still participate by checking in by email, and the email address is nytxa@yahoo.com. So at this point, we'll stand by for check-ins. Please space it out so we can keep the dupes to a minimum and get everybody checked in. This is M2NLB.
Good evening, WA+QQ, Bob, in Elmwood Park, New Jersey. Traffic this evening.
That's what I'll be. WB2KCD,
Steve, and Bernadette,
traffic.
N2NB, WA2OKZ, 10, Brantford, New Jersey, no traffic.
Traffic.
Okay, so far we heard WA2SQQ, WB2KTV, WA2OKZ, KC2GIK, K2LAZ, WB2SGT, KC2LBC, N2SCR, and N2RVM. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go with the list as we have it, and we'll pick up additional check-ins later on. So, first up tonight is WA2SQQ. Go ahead, Bob.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the net. Got nothing on email as of 10 minutes ago, but it is getting cold, and AM broadcast time again. In fact, I was on the road last night just tuning around, and was listening to a station up in Ontario down on 560, and it got me to thinking. Did a little searching today, and I found a very interesting site. Several years ago, we used to try to mention the DX test, and I know that since we've last done that, there's probably a lot of new people over here, so I just wanted to mention what these AM broadcast DX tests are, and found a very interesting website. Those of you who haven't ever tried, particularly in the winter months, you can use your AM broadcast radio and actually receive stations from quite a far distance. And occasionally what the National Radio Club will work with these stations, and they will set up what they call DX tests, which are usually sometimes anywhere between 1 and 3 a.m. Our local time, and they will broadcast very unique type of music, maybe marching music or polka music, and they'll also identify in CW so that you can pick them out, even if the station is relatively weak or there's a lot of noise. The idea is, number one, it's a way to get a QSL card, if that's what you're looking for, from these distant stations, and then it also gives the station management an idea how far their station is being heard at night. So I came across a rather interesting site at www.dxtests.info, and they actually have comments from people that have receive these stations, and they have a schedule of upcoming DX tests. So, for example, the next DX test is going to take place on November 24th, WCXH up in Maine on 780 kilohertz is going to be doing the DX test. And if you go on here, they actually have a schedule of all the stations, the times, the information, and they actually have a clock that's counting down for, you know, how many days, hours, minutes, and seconds until the test begins. So as the nights get colder and the RF noise decreases, you're not going to get as much static. It might be a website that you'd want to bookmark and check it out. They also have podcasts that you can download. There's also recordings on here of the tests that have been run and where they've been received from. One thing I noticed on here is there's a station down in Virginia, WODI. I know Charlie and I know Dave Marthouse, N2AAM, used to be a local ham over here. And Dave, quite a few years ago, moved down to Virginia for a radio station. And because he's a very avid shortwave and broadcast band DXer, his station actually runs quite a few tests, and been reading through them, and it looks like from down there in Virginia, his little 1,000-watt station seems to have a pipeline up into Ontario, Canada. A lot of people up there are able to hear that station up in Canada in the evenings. So that's what it's all about, but again, you might want to check it out, www.dxtests.info. That's the first issue that I wanted to bring up. Second issue is one that I thought was kind of interesting. And every year, on Christmas Eve, there's a website run by NORAD, and they kind of do a thing for the kids about tracking Santa Claus, where NORAD is tracking him, you know, across the world. I was up on Usenet the other day and actually found an album, an LP that somebody converted over to MP3 files that was released what appears to be in the early 60s, and it was the actual NORAD broadcast that they did for media stations, along with photos and a whole collection of files of tracking Santa. And I guess maybe they made this available to the media, and some stations would play these on the air Christmas Eve. The ideas I had was I can send the file to Charlie, and if he wants to throw it up on the website, it's probably about 30 or 40 meg. But with a broadband connection, you could probably download it pretty quickly. It's kind of an interesting little piece of radio history. You could download it and listen to these little spots that they did. And, again, it was an LP. The person actually scanned the label off the LP and included JPEG images. So if you're agreeable to that, Charlie, I can zip it up and get that to you.
Yeah, no problem. We have plenty of room.
I'll try to get that together for you this evening, and I'll get it over to you. I might have to do it in a few pieces. I don't know if I can fit it all in one email. So I think I may have one other issue here I have to kind of go over and see if I can get some more information. But those two items anyway, for right now, to get started, the broadcast DX season here. I think it's pretty worthwhile. A demo last night of one of the software-defined HF transceivers, Dave XKE2SL, he changed his call to WO2X, but Dave purchased it, and I'll tell you, I'm very impressed. It's just a generic-looking black box, but it's a 100 to 150 watt HF transceiver, totally software controlled. Your control panel is your spectrum analyzers and all. It's an incredible radio, to the point where I can see radios as we know them with knobs and buttons on the front panel. In just a few years, they're just not going to exist anymore. Incredible radio, though, not only receiving quality, but even the transmitting audio. So that's yet another thing to look at. And finally, I will get you out the list, Charlie, of malls, the frequencies using the shopping malls. Unfortunately, I didn't get any updates, so we're just going to run with the list the way we had it last year. I don't know what's changed. No one has sent me any updates, so unfortunately, I'll send you what I have, and if you want to post that, maybe up on the website. Back over to you. Oh, one last thing. Charlie, I sent you an email, and I don't know if you want to touch upon it. Very interesting program they had this morning on Fox News. They interviewed Ham, K3TUP, and perhaps some of you have read about it already. The guy's a ham. He was diagnosed with leukemia. Got up in the middle of the night one night and just got this idea, and actually developed a way which the medical profession right now and the National Cancer Institute have really sat up and took notice to cure cancer using RF. They actually took laboratory rats that had tumors. They were diagnosed as being terminal, and using RF, no more tumors. So he's not a doctor. Does not have a formal education, but got the idea how to use RF, and it looks like it may be a promising treatment within the next two or three years. I sent you the email on it, Charlie, if you want to share more info on it. That'd be great, plus DQ.
Bob, you dropped out.
Sorry, okay, where did you get up to?
National Institute of Health.
Yeah, no, the ham K3CUP, I sent you an email today, actually came up with a what looks to be a very potential cure for cancer using RF, and there's a newspaper article where they actually show you him using his HF transceiver and a large amplifier, and he's been successful already working with medical professionals in actually completely curing certain types of cancer in rats that were diagnosed terminal. You can check your email, Charlie, and if you want to get the URL out or whatever, but it's a very interesting article. He was on Fox News this morning, and if you click on the link that I sent you, you can actually see the broadcast. They interviewed him in the station and so on.
Yeah, I saw it, Bob, and it was a very interesting interview. First started off with copper sulfate, and then moved up from there. The idea is that the radio waves will heat up the copper in the blood, and that would attach itself to the cancerous cells. It's an interesting little video, and I sure hope that if this proves out across the board, and it very well might, that finally we've got a way of dealing with it as opposed to radiation and all sorts of nasty chemicals. Yeah, I have a good friend who's going through that right now, and it is not good. What I'll do, Bob, is I'll put the link into an email and send it out to the listener tonight, because it's quite a long URL.
Okay, yeah, I have one other request. If possibly somebody is knows where I can find certain information, they can pass it along to you or to me or to the net, and I can get it this way. What I'm looking for, I believe that some company either makes it or somebody has plans for it on the net, and I've done some searching. I can't find it. I'm looking for a variable notch filter for the AM broadcast band, and I've tried coming up with my own designs, but I just cannot get anything which is near sharp enough. What my idea is, I want to be able to sit there and tune it to notch 770, even if it's only 15 or 20 or 30 dB of attenuation. I'm so close to WABC that what happens is they actually generate noise in the front end of the receiver. And although I'm not listening to them, the ambient noise level comes way up. So my idea is to come up with some type of a relatively sharp notch filter that I can tune to 770, and then it should actually lower my front end noise in the receiver. If anybody has ever seen any such articles or any commercially available products like that, if you can pass it along. WA2SQ.
Things out there, different designs and such. I'll see what I can dig up. Yeah, living on the South Shore of Staten Island, you had a function, a mile away, and it would come into everything. I could stick an earplug in my ear and just touch the contact at the end of the wire and hear the station loud and clear. As far as the website for dxtest.info, I created the link to put up on my website while you were talking, Bob, so people can find it there. It's in the miscellaneous section under MediaWave DXing.
Yeah, just as a matter of reference, Charlie, I have band pass filters. I've got a filter that will basically roll off everything above 500 kilohertz, so that if I want to listen to long wave, and I have another filter that will basically pass everything above 1.7, you know, for 160 meters. But what I'm actually, as I say, looking for is I'm looking for something which is tunable to a specific frequency between 540 and 1600. So it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be difficult to make something which is going to be relatively sharp at that lower frequency, you know, to get a high-Q circuit, but I think it might pay off. Might be a little bit tricky, but it might pay off. All right, back to you.
Okay, if I find something, I'll drop an email to you. Hopefully I can find it tonight. Okay, and as Bob originally talked about in his, when he first came on the air, the list for stores and malls, because our favorite time of the year when our significant others bring us out there into the wild while they go looking for bargains. And what better opportunity for us to sit around while accompanying them and acting as a pack mule and piggyback is to take our scanners with us and listen to what's going on around us in those locations. So if you have any updates to the list, and the list can be found at n2nlb.net for New York City-based stuff, and bergenscanner.com for New Jersey-based stuff, please send us the updates. This way we can send it out to everybody. As I know, there have been a few changes and a few new frequencies reported. I believe Ben and 2CG came up with a few of them about a month or two ago. Okay, so if you've got anything, please send it in. Okay, let's continue down the list. Next one is Steve in Manhattan, WP2KTV, and see what I'll be. Good, Steve.
That's a little easy.
That is probably coming out imminently if the company
doesn't have its head in the sand and doesn't decide that they can fix it with a firmware update. It's not a firmware problem, it's not a software problem, it's definitely a hardware problem, and they need to fix it, and he suspects that they will. Anyway, that's just me. Back to that.
That's interesting news. Did you they were looking to make?
Sorry, Charlie, I missed both of that.
I said it's interesting that hardware improvement. So I'm wondering if he indicated what it would be.
Nothing specific. Just said that the radar searches, that there are enough problems with it that if the company really wants to keep the company, that they're going to have to come out with a fix for it. And he said, by all means, hold off on purchasing it for at least another couple of weeks, that the update ought to be forthcoming. I hope he's right. I really hope he's right, because if not, I'm going to have to change my registry.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see what comes out of it. Yeah, I'd like to see it. Harrison between the Unit 396 and this new GRE500. Yeah, they both have similar things. Unit does have a wider frequency range that it covers, but other than that, I like to see comparisons on how well it performs, number of channels, which of course is totally dependent upon how you use the memory. Yeah, you don't put much in each memory location or alpha tag and you'll get more channels. So if anybody hears of anything on how this PSR-500 actually stacks up against the 396, that'd be some good information to share around.
Yeah, I'm looking for exactly the same thing. I'm waiting for somebody to come up with some bench tests, some real meters benchmarks, and so far I haven't seen the first input. If that sort of information is even available, or anyone is even bothered to sit down and start to map out a test plan for the thing, but that would be ideal.
K2CSX and AC2JXC. In fact, this person doesn't think that we don't have extra radios that we can listen to the system while we're talking. No. All right, anybody else?
K82UIJ, Lodi, New Jersey, no traffic.
Okay, UIJ, we have you. Anybody else? Okay, N1MLZ, go ahead, Bob.
Hi, good evening, Charlie. Good evening to the rest of the net here. A couple of tidbits here. Yesterday, over here in Seymour, Connecticut, this actually made CNN news today. I actually saw it on CNN. A car went into the water over here in Seymour, and a private tow truck driver heard it on a scanner, and he could help out. So he drove over there, and he was actually there before any of the fire departments or anybody else got there, and he actually pulled the guy out of the truck. And at the time, he saved his life, but the gentleman ended up passing away today. But it made the news that he heard it on the scanner and went and helped out. So it's good for us scanner enthusiasts to get another check on our side. Hopefully, some of the people that want to go digital and encrypt and everything, pay attention to that. And, yeah, it's another. Help for our side.
Yeah, every little bit that we can get the word out, through newspapers and such, that being able to hear what's going on is good, that it is helpful. Just imagine all the people who are driving to work every morning, that if they would just listen to what's going on, then they wouldn't be all sitting on a highway behind an accident. They would have gotten off the highway in plenty of time and worked around the problem. Simple things like this. Neighborhood watch groups, have always been at the forefront of knowing what's going on with their local police department. I think each person should. If you don't know the world around you, you don't know even your own neighborhood, especially in a city like New York, unless you really do listen to hear what's going on. There are people who live in apartment buildings who don't even know their neighbor. That's a shame. That's a good point to bring up, Bob. Yeah, I'm sure you've got a bunch of people up there in Connecticut doing that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Charlie. Yeah, of course, I don't recommend everybody go out to every call they hear on the scanner, but this guy has a tow truck, and he has a tow truck. He could go out here and pull the truck out with the tow truck. That's why he went to the scene, not to go take the call, but in his case, it was a valid excuse to go to the scene, in my opinion. So he ended up pulling the guy out, so that was great. But unfortunately, the guy passed away, but we tried, so...
I got a couple frequencies off, Charlie, while I'm here. Very active for the past week or so. Every night,
Atlantic City Air National Guard gets the scene doing drug fights and stuff on two of the VHF frequencies. AM mode, of course. 138.425, 138.425. And the other one is 139.875. 139.875. You'll have to hear tear and pair off two aircraft on each frequency, two guys are the good guys, and the other guys are the bad guys, and kind of interesting to listen to both frequencies at the same time. But those two frequencies they've been using a lot the past week or two, Charlie, and everybody else. AM mode, and you'll be able to hear them even on an AT with the rubber duck guarantee. They're coming loud and clear up here, so they've been active. Back to you, good stuff.
Which brings up a very good point, Bob, that the federal government, all of their allocations, VHF and UHF, by the end of December, have to be narrow FM if they're using FM, and the channels are 12.5 kilohertz apart. So we've noticed some of this moving around over the past few years. Well, this is going to be the mad scramble for those who haven't done it yet. Is for the next 6 weeks, if they have to cell switch over. So it's a good opportunity to put those scanners on in those federal subbands, put them in search mode at 12.5 kilohertz. Start hearing some of the new activity. That may have been somewhere else. That'll be on these new frequencies. And as we find the new frequencies, I just ask everybody to share them so that we can all listen in. If you want to submit it anonymously, that's fine. I've got no problem with passing along information like that. I respect people's privacy. But there's going to be a lot of new and interesting things to listen to over the next couple of months. Okay, let's see. SQQ, anything else come in the email before we start to wrap it up? And so on, I'll be.
No, Charlie, nothing.
I have a question too, Charlie. Anyone else there?
And hold that, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. Curious if anybody has the frequency to the new rock, the new Devil Stadium there in Newark. The frequency that Shelby had over there soon, but it's nice to have it programmed in the radio in advance. It's not often to bring my talk to it.
I don't know. We have to ask around. Maybe there's something on radio reference. Bob, SQQ, do you have anything yet?
Sorry, Charlie, my wife was here just asking something. What was the question?
The new Prudential Arena called The Rock. Do we have any frequencies for their operations or anything surrounding it?
It's in radio reference. There's about 7 frequencies. They're using, if I'm not mistaken, some type of a Kenwood radio, and they are in some obscure digital mode, nothing analog. The other thing is, my wife has actually been there already, my son was there already for some hockey games, and it was in today's local paper. The place has got 2 major, major problems. Number one, walking down to the seats, my wife said it's almost vertical. And number two, she said you got to be about 98 pounds in order to be able to sit in the seats comfortably. She said they are so narrow. Every game, she said, people are going up and complaining that they can't sit in the seats. They're too narrow to be functional. So I suspect before too long, we're going to have a lot of PR problems with that new arena.
Hey, Bob, how's that?
You have to walk to the car.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, I looked it up right here, and it's iGen digital format, so forget it.
Wow, well, I guess they can do that. I'll give them that, Public service, I know, as I just said with the story, but I guess something like this... I guess it's a private entity, and I can understand that.
Yeah,
as far as this, that SQQ mentioned. It turns out that Motorola has something now called Turbo, Moto Turbo, which is a digital format, which is supposed to be similar to Tetra. So maybe we should start with scanner manufacturers to consider that as part of their decoding scheme. Okay, I did get an email from Bill, KC2FYK, asking if anybody knows who's on the frequency of 500.9375 with the digital PO of 412. He says he knows that it's used for some of the East Bergen County OEM stuff, but he doesn't see any indication on who's using the DPO of 412. So if anybody can help out, he'd appreciate it.
And you over Bucks County over there, they use that range over there, Joe.
Okay. I'll put you up that bill.
Yeah, we had a few band opens in the last couple of days, so I bet you're hearing over there. I was there in Pennsylvania over here, so I went without it.
Okay. Maybe a little research on radio references. Pennsylvania boys will give a clue. All right. Thanks, Bob. Okay. Hearing nothing else, we'll close up the net at this time. Again, if you have any updates for the stores and malls listing, please send them in so that by next week's net we can get it back out to everybody so you can make use of it when you get your eggs Black Friday and the start of the holiday shopping season. So with that, we'll catch you all later. Again, there's plenty of resources for AM broadcast and DXing that's available. You know, check the N2NLB.net website and start exploring. This is the time of year for broadcast band DXing and some of the good long-haul shortwave stuff. But it's darker and longer in the northern hemisphere. Catch you next Wednesday, and it's one I'll be clear.